Beach Kayaks.
I'm Carrie Chen, your host for today. I'm the Director of Marketing at HKS, and I'm pleased to bring stories about our school to listeners. Today on Dragon Waves, we have an HKS icon whose name evokes so many great memories for students and teachers over many, many years, even today. James Hendrich was the primary school principal in the 80s, the high school principal in the 90s, and finally the head of school in 2004. Jim retired in 2007 after 24 years at HKS. And those in our community today may have also have heard of the James A. Hendrich Service Leadership Endowment, which was established by two alumni in honor of Jim to help further the school's mission statement. I've invited Jim to be a guest on Dragon Waves today to share with us about his time at HKS and tell us from his perspective what makes HKS so special. So, hi, Jim.
Hi, Carrie. And I tell you, one thing that makes it special is they have people like you working there that get up at 6 a.m. so that they can interview me at 6 p.m. here in Florida.
It's my pleasure. Well, Jim, we've known each other for a very long time, well before I started working here and even before my kids started attending HKS. My husband remembers you fondly from the 90s as his principal and head of school.
And I want to say, please give my warm greetings to Tim. He's something else. He's amazing, really. And of course, your family is too. Wow.
I will. Thank you. Well, you were here during those critical years when HKS was growing, and many people remember those years fondly and speak of that time. Tell us a bit about how it all started.
When I had the call to consider coming to HKS, I was in the Bronx. I was in New York City. I'd been there 17 years, and I was working inner city K-12 school that was faith-based, mostly Black and Hispanic students. I was loving what I was doing. When the call came to consider HKS, initially I didn't even consider it. I said, no, I'm really happy what I'm doing here. I think I'm needed with what I'm doing. And I love New York City, and I like the school. I mean, it was just a great experience. HKS at that time, and they were looking for an elementary principal. And at that time, the elementary school was open space. There were no walls at all. There were 4 teachers and 2 paras in each cluster with 100 kids. And those 6 professionals, their job was to deliver the curriculum to the 100 students. They could group them in different ways. They could have them learning independently. They could have one teacher teaching a lot of the science, let's say, and another teacher the social studies. In other words, they could do anything within the bounds of their curriculum expectations. And at the time I got the call, I said, you know, I have no experience working in open space and with team teaching. In the Bronx, you wouldn't have done open space, really, because kids came with different issues, and there were ways that it made it difficult that you could have a large group in one place. It was just education happened better when it was self-contained in the Bronx. And I said to David Rittman at the time, you need to hire a principal who has experience in working with open spaces and has experience with helping teachers be effective in a team. That's really what you need. And that's not what I did. Well, they brought out, I don't know how many search committees they had or how long it went, but it went through that year. And in April, I think it was, of that year, he said, we still haven't found what we wanted. Would you at least come out here and look at this place and look at the school and see what you think, you know? And I thought, well, a trip to Hong Kong? I've never been to Hong Kong. So yes, I'll come for a week and I'll learn from it. And that'll be a good experience for me to take back to New York. I mean, what was so interesting when I was visiting HKS was, of course, the open space and the team teaching and the student body. I mean, it was just fascinating, really, because it was so different from what I was doing at the time. But it was also amazing to me about the potential of how good could a school really be if you have the kinds of teachers, the kinds of resources, the kinds of leadership, the vision for that school that can really make it outstanding. Because, you know, in the urban areas of our country in the U.S., they don't have those resources generally. It's just hard maintaining teachers and having the finances. And there's so many things in the community that impinge on making it challenging, really. Well, so anyway, I visited classrooms and walked through the building. And who was there at the same time I was Madeline Hunter. You probably don't recognize her name, but for educators, in the 70s and 80s, she was like the guru of education in terms of quality of education. How do you train teachers to be the best thing? Well, HKS had the funds to bring her out for a week. And she was there the same week I visited. So I did a walkthrough with her. And she said after we finished, she said, well, I'm sure glad I met you. Coming from the Bronx, you must have thought you just died and went to heaven. And I thought, there's some truth actually to that, because HKS is so blessed. And I hope it never forgets that how fortunate the school is, you are, parents are, teachers are, to have a school that has the blessings that HKS has. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Even from now that I've been retired for 17 years, and I look at what's happening with HKS, it's still being so blessed. So that I don't mean there weren't challenges. There were huge challenges all the time, but the blessings were always there too. Finally, I said, well, that's an opportunity. I will grow a lot from being elementary principal at HKS. So I took the call. And at that time, if you were going to be hired as a principal, the board interviewed you, individual board members. So I got interviewed by the deputy consul general, the president of the Bank of Canton, a typical board at HKIS, you know, really capable, strong leaders who were with businesses and government and things like that. So they all interviewed me individually. When I flew over there, I flew over on 007, and it was the week before it got shot down. Thankfully, it was the week before. So I was in the Seoul airport in the middle of the night waiting to catch the next Korean Airlines flight to Hong Kong. And it was probably one of the darkest moments of my life. I said, what have you done? How did you make this decision to go to this school? The parents are different than any parents you've ever worked with. The students are different. The teachers are different. What were you thinking? I mean, you liked what you were doing in New York. You know, why did you? It was sort of the bottom of making that decision, you know, to come and everything. Of course, after I got there and started getting into the work of being an elementary principal, it was the right decision. It wasn't the wrong decision. But boy, at that time, it really made me think about what I was doing with my life and my calling and my vocation and things.
And so from your perspective, what is it that makes HKS so special?
It's a good question, really. What makes HKS special? What I really, when I was thinking today, what made it special is of all the schools that I've known and visited, and when I was a Klingenstein Fellow at Columbia University, one of the things you get to do is you get to visit all these elite private schools throughout New England and New York. And one of the things when I look back on all of that and I think, what makes HKS special? The thing that I came up with is I think the school has always been mission-driven and very clear about what it wants to do with education. And when I think it's still even the current mission statement. We worked on that in the 90s. It's a brilliant mission statement. But I mean, I think every teacher, certainly every leader knew what that was. You know, dedicating our minds to inquiry, our hearts to compassion, our lives to service and global understanding. An American education grounded in the Christian faith and respecting the spiritual lives of all.
Well done. That is absolutely the current mission.
It is. Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. I'm happy it still is. It's still a good one, I think. I used to interview teachers hard on that when we were hiring. And the reason I did was because, I mean, one of the ways HKS is blessed is when you have an opening, you often have a lot of applicants for a particular position for teaching. And so finding teachers who could embrace that mission statement, that understood it, and I would often ask them, well, what does it mean to you that you're teaching students to be inquiring? How do you go about doing that, you know, kind of thing? And I did tell them, I warned them ahead of time that they should read the mission statement and the student learning results, because I was going to ask them a lot of questions on that kind of thing. Because it was very important to me that if we're serious about how we want students to learn, then we have to be hiring the leaders and the teachers, the right kind of people, to get there with our students. I was amazed that when they built the new elementary school, the kinds of learning labs that they have for playing around, for kids saying, well, why does this work this way? Or just the example you gave, which I didn't have any idea, make a ween, that you have to be creative enough to figure out, how am I going to create a costume that is going to reflect what I want to reflect about who I am and what I want my friends to see me as, you know, and that kind of a thing. I mean, that's all inquiry kind of learning. That's all creative, critical thinking, those kinds of skills. And I'm just so glad to see that as they built a building, that they did that for first and second graders and such. I mean, I think that's brilliant for inquiry kinds of things. Or I think of in the high school, when you think about the endowment, the Handrich Endowment, where we said we wanted young people to get involved with service learning. I think of a group that Marty Schmidt led to South India, working with among the poorest of people in South India. And it was an interim, two young ladies. They went there and they did a service project, really helping particularly girls, but helping students to say, what can we do? What difference can we make in our community? Particularly with the kind of caste situation in India. And these were among the lowest of people. And these girls, they went for 3 years in a row to that place in India. And they designed a whole teaching unit for interim on empowerment. How do you empower people who are poor, young people who think they have no say in anything, to make a difference in their lives and in the lives of their community? And I know the endowment funded them, you know, for several years during that time to make that happen and to have the curriculum get published. And I know at least in one of their cases, they're still doing that kind of work. They graduated from HKS and they're still involved in making that kind of a difference that involves compassion and contributing to the community in a way that's going to be lasting and is going to be powerful. And so when I think of that mission statement, you know, heart for compassion, I mean, it's so there and so many examples of it. Global understanding, I mean, when I think of the curriculum, for instance, global understanding, what we did in the high school with global studies with Humanities One was just incredible, really, and studying the cultures, the history, the geography of India and China and Japan and East Africa. I mean, they don't have courses like that here, even though it's a very good school district. And when you add to that the service component of kids taking Humanities One in action, that they're also getting involved in giving back to the society, that doesn't happen either. But it's so unique in the high school, for example, to say global understanding, how does that occur? Well, it occurs from not only studying, but being there, visiting, being part of it, reading the literature that's from India, let's say. Not just studying the history and the geography, but being the writers, you know, that are talking about the issues of that day. I mean, HKS is just really good with global understanding and with service. In American style education, I know that at least when I was there, well over half of our kids came to HKS from the United States. And if kids were leaving, a goodly percentage of them were either going back to the United States. I don't know if the graduation percentage is still the same, but about 90% went on to U.S. colleges and universities. Well, the school had better have a good understanding of what it means to go to America and go to school. And kids coming from HKS better fit in well when they return. And when they graduate, they ought to be stellar at whatever university they go to. We have to have an understanding of that. And so that's why we used to hire not solely American teachers, for sure, but enough teachers, enough faculty that they would understand what it means to get kids ready for going to America, to university. Grounded in the Christian faith and respecting the spiritual. I love that was there. Because when you say what's special, first of all, in the public schools, you can't do anything with that. And so what happens in the U.S. public schools, kids are I hate to say it, but they're woefully ignorant about their own spirituality and about any kind of religion experience at all. If they have a religion experience from their family, it's often quite narrow. It's focused only on what their family believes and what they do. And so out of it often comes, if they have a religious experience, both an ignorance and sometimes even a fear of some other religion. In the US, that often gets played out with Islam, for instance. And you think, well, that's sad. They don't know anything about Islam, you know, and what it is. And so American education, the fact that we do nothing here in the United States to help kids understand their own spirituality and the place of religion in this world. I mean, it's a shame. It's really sad, you know, that that is that way. And we pay the price for that, I think. But it makes HKS special that HKS does do that. And it's grounded in the Christian faith in the sense that from kindergarten on, what Jesus taught, what Jesus wanted his followers to believe and to live out, that's at the heart of what HKS teaches all the time. The other faiths come into it. I know in the elementary school, I remember probably my first or second year in the elementary school, we just celebrated Diwali here in the US, you know, the Indian celebration. Most people paid no attention or didn't even know about it here in Florida. My bet would be in Hong Kong, in some of the clusters and some of the classrooms, there'd be a parent who was Indian, who was Hindu, who came in and did something with Diwali, because they did all the time when I was there.
Oh, absolutely.
And seeing it makes their children proud that their parent came in and can explain it. And it makes that child's, I'm important. This is my faith. This is what I believe. This is my culture. This is what I celebrate. And it makes parents pleased as well. And for those of us who are Christian, respecting the spiritual lives of other people. I think of Paul, and I mean, he said it in so many different ways in the various letters that he wrote, but to become all things to all people, to be interested in all people, to immerse yourself in their culture so you understand them, and so that the gospel, when it's presented, has meaning for them. So, I mean, I just think it's precious that HKS has that. Many private schools don't have it. Most international schools don't have it. And certainly no public schools in the U.S. have it. And to me, it's special and makes HKS very unique. And at least during the time I was there, I thought we did it rather well. And I hope it's still happening that way, too, that particular aspect of the mission statement. A school that is mission driven and has clear student learning results is going to be far more effective than one that isn't. I mean, you can see all kinds of examples where people are floundering and it's not at all clear what teachers are supposed to do or what students can demonstrate and articulate when they explain things to you. I mean, HKS has that down in spades. It's just clear and it's there. What does that look like in a classroom? What does the teacher need to be able to do if they're going to, well, let's take one of the hardest ones, if they're going to do something that's grounded in the Christian faith? What would that look like in a second grade classroom? In an eighth grade classroom, in a high school classroom. So, I mean, you take the student learning results and you say, what do teachers need to be able to do? And who do we hire as teachers that have the potential to be able to do it as well? And who do we hire as principals and head of school that they too embrace that and want to see that happening in their school and are doing what's necessary to make sure it is happening, whether it's staff development or visiting teachers' classes, but just making sure that, hey, if you're serious about this, let's see it happening. We want to see it happening, kind of thing. So after we did the operational definitions for the six student learning results and did what that looks like in a classroom, the last thing that we did, and that was about when I was getting ready to leave, is we did benchmarks. And we said, so with every student learning result and with all the operational definitions under them, what do students need to be able to say and do? In other words, how do you know if second graders are getting it? How do you know if fifth graders are getting it? Now, it's pretty easy in areas of math. I don't mean it's easy to teach or to learn, but in math and reading and science and social studies, because there's a lot of work that has been done on curriculum that helps you see what the benchmarks should be. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the student learning results don't have that work done. And that we had to pretty much do ourselves in saying, well, what does it mean that a student understands at grade 12 that they were at a school that was grounded in the Christian faith and respects the spiritual lives of all? What's special about HCAS that I don't want to forget, though, is when I think of my 24 years there, the parade of faculty and fellow administrative colleagues, gosh, there were some excellent people that were teaching kids and were leading out in the divisions and things like that. We were so blessed with teachers who not only embraced these things, but moved them much further than I ever would have imagined they could have been. Just such good teachers.
I couldn't agree more. So our school theme for this year is building a community of grace. It's a phrase based on a Bible passage from Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14, where it talks about clothing yourselves with compassion, humility, patience. And it came about because we knew that a very large portion of our faculty over the past 3 years are new to HCAS, as well as a good portion of our students are new as well. So how do we encourage good dialogue between those who have been here for a long time and understand the traditions of HCAS and those who are new and come with, you know, expertise and different perspectives? And so when I think about this phrase of building a community of grace, it makes me think of you and your time here at HCAS. So does this theme resonate with you?
Oh, yeah, no, it does. And I like it. And I like why you did it as well, because it's not easy being a new teacher at HCAS or being a new student, because it's so different from most other schools, really. It's special, but it's also very different than what many have experienced in their public schools in the US or in other international schools where they came from. HCAS is quite different as a school. And so to be a school that accepts you no matter where you came from and who you are, that you belong. That's one of the reasons why I always did the gate. I was always out at the gate every morning greeting students. And I wanted every student, the new ones especially, to understand they were welcomed here, that they belonged here. And then during the first 10 weeks, I had new teachers join me always for a week as well, because I wanted the new teachers to meet the students. And, you know, students have a big role in developing a community of grace, because teachers are going to make mistakes. And I used to tell students all the time, you can make teachers better. Yeah, principal can too, but students, you have a big responsibility to help teachers be better. And you do that by your honesty with them, by your respect for them, by your care for them, by giving them a chance wherever that might be needed. And to me, a community of grace does that with new teachers. And of course, doing it with new students as well, because there's going to be mistakes that are going to get made. And you have to understand where they came from and how they're in this new community that's very different from what they've experienced before. So I like the theme, and I can see lots of opportunities to share that with students and even parents. I mean, when I think of what makes HCAS special, I said the teachers do. Surely the students make it special. But the parents, I mean, we had amazing parents, and I'm sure you still do. And when I was thinking, what was so special about the parents? Well, number one, they weren't intrusive. I mean, they weren't helicopter parents. They weren't on teachers' cases all the time, mostly because one of them was so busy with their job, usually, that they didn't have time to even think of it. And if they were traveling, which is what often happened pre-COVID and such like that, the other parent was busy maintaining a house and keeping everything going in the absence of the other parent. So they weren't intrusive. But they were supportive. They understood that it takes parents and teachers working together to really be effective. I just think parents are one of the real strengths at HKS as well. The community of HKS is just amazing. It really is. I mean, we have the unbelievable facilities we have because of debentures and companies and people who have supported that to happen. That really helps a good education take place. But beyond that, living and being in Hong Kong, I mean, at the years I was there, and I think it's still true, it was a meeting of so many cultures, and the school was as well. And so to have a community like that, that kids could thrive in, they could experiment in, they could have friends that crossed such different things. And even if they were all Chinese, they were all still very different in terms of their backgrounds and where they came from, and to appreciate and respect that. It's a beautiful community. It really is. And it just makes HKS special, is what I think.
Now, so many alumni associate their time at HKS with you. It really seems that you know hundreds of alumni and you've kept in touch with all of them. Can you tell us how you do that, and why do these alumni are so fond of their memories of that time?
I mean, when I think of alumni, I mean, some of them I know pretty well, sometimes from because of restorative justice and things like that. But some of them I know well just because of their involvement, the difference that they made in so many different ways. Others of them, not as much, but I think they appreciated the kind of school that we had and that I was part of leading that. When they went to university, so often kids would come back and they would say, you know, we had such a different high school experience than so many other kids that were at Columbia or wherever they were, you know. And I would say, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, we did so many different things and were able to do so many different things that other schools would never let students do. And so I think that students appreciate the fact that HKS does give them leeway and does give them opportunities and believes in things like self-motivated learning. And of course, Interim was a brilliant program, and I hope it comes back full force pretty soon, because that always made a difference to kids as well. I've enjoyed, whether it's my students from the Bronx or if it's the students from Hong Kong, is I do connect with them over Facebook. If I know when their birthday is, I'll usually say something about that to them. And I'm almost always will, if I see that they're doing something that's amazing. I mean, I'm a lurker more than anything else. I don't post much myself, but I do comment a lot on what other people post. And we have some amazing alums that I'm able to say, you know, you were amazing when you were in high school, but look at you now. I cannot believe the kinds of things you are doing. And sometimes they surprise you. Like, I was so thrilled to see Bonnie. I was just thrilled to see what she was doing and how she was acting on that. And I went back and forth with her a few times. Those of us who know kids who are now adults and see them doing what they're doing, we should still be doing that encouragement. We should still be recognizing them. And I like doing that.
And it reminds me of what you said about, you know, so many of our alums are doing amazing things. You may not know about it. And so it is sometimes important to tell those stories, right? To post on Facebook for our generation. Unfortunately, yeah, for the younger generation, they don't know what Facebook is, but for our generation to continue to tell those stories and to let people know what you're doing.
Yeah, that senior class, it was my last year, and they interviewed me, and they said, and we have a gift for you. And I thought, what kind of gift would I get from the senior class? You never know. And so anyway, they said, we've just made you our friend on Facebook. I mean, it was cool because, I mean, I automatically had 200 friends from HKIS.
Thank you so much for spending the time with me today and to talk about what makes HKIS so special. Certainly, people like yourself, the faculty and staff that you talk about over the years, it's the people that really make it special, along with the programs and the spaces that are available for learning. That's really clear from our conversation. And so, thank you. I realize it is now dark where you are and light where I am, which is the exact opposite of how it was when we started. So
we are. And I love it that we're 12 hours apart. That's just easy to remember all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Prayers for you as your ministry continues there. I'm glad you're there.
Thank you. Take care, Jim.
All right. Bye.
Dragonways on the Air with HKS is produced by the HKS Marketing Office and its podcast production crew. Special thanks to Jim Handridge, our guest for today, Waylon Chong, class of 2020, for recording our intro, and Laura Lawrenson and Danielle Solan, our lower primary music teachers, for creating our theme song. See you next time.